Welcome to Tarat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pamela Rivka Simonson, and today we will be studying Amos Perek Ches, Chapter 8. Amos depicts three prophetic visions predicting punishment in the previous chapter. Locusts devouring the vegetation, after which he prays and God relents. Fire, after which he prays and God refrains. And then Hashem standing over a plumbed wall, holding a plumb line and measuring the deeds of the Jewish people, at which point it is too late to pray for them, because Hashem will no longer pardon them. Hashem says he will destroy sanctuaries built for idol worship and bring the nation to suffer by the sword. Amos describes his difficult encounter with Amatzia, a priest of idols, who tried to frame him, but failed, and so instead tried to convince him to leave the northern kingdom, because the prophecies of Amos condemned idolatry and were intended to encourage teshuva, repentance, and turning away from idolatry. In chapter 8, Amos tells of a fourth vision conveying the imminence of destruction. He also returns to criticizing the deceit amongst the Jewish people who have taken advantage of the poor. But whilst his message is one of rebuke and warning, he also offers consolation about the future. Verse 1. Koi hirani Hashem Elokim v'hinei kluv koyetz. So Hashem Elokim showed me, and behold, a basket of koyetz, which commentaries understand to mean summer fruits. I saw a basket of summer fruits. Posuk Beis, verse 2. Vayomer ma atarai eh Amos. He said, what do you see, Amos? Va'aymar kluv koyetz. I said, a basket of fruits. Vayomer Hashem elai, bo haketz el ami Yisrael, lai aisif oid avarlai. Hashem said to me, the end has come to my people Yisrael. I will no longer continue to pardon them. Radak explains about the prophetic vision of the fruits of the summer, that summer, kayetz, means haketz, the end. The end has come upon them to exile them from their land. Like summer fruits that reach the end of their growing period and then are plucked from the tree, so too the end has come for Yisrael, to be driven from their place. Hashem is declaring at the end of the verse that he cannot hold back the punishment anymore for their sins. Prediction of drastic suffering follows in verse 3. The destruction will be so severe that there will be Rav HaPeger B'chol Makayim Hishlich Hos. So many corpses in every place, cast away, remove. The imagery of cast away, remove, according to Rashi, is that the corpses will be so abundant that everywhere people will be saying, remove these corpses from here. Understanding of the anguish the destruction will bring is deepened by the alternative translation of the word hos at the end of the verse to mean silence, which Matsudas David explains depicts the restraint people will exercise, holding back their crying when they witness the scene of corpses being discarded. Amidst the devastation, they will remain silent so as not to terrify people. The Malbim notes that Amos now returns to the subject he started with in chapter 2, verse 7, when he first addressed the northern kingdom directly for its sinning against the poor, taking what belongs to the poor people, and even having them killed in order to take their possessions. Amos calls out in chapter 8, verse 4, to those who desire to swallow up the poor, that the decree of their judgment is sealed because of their exploitation of poor people. Shim'u zois hashoyafim evyoin, velashbis aniye oretz. Listen to this, you who swallow up the poor and destroy the impoverished of the land. And then he tells of their warped mentality and methods of deception. Verse 5. Leymar, mosai ya'avar hachaydesh, v'nashbir hashever. Saying, when will the month pass and we will sell grain? Matsudas David explains that this is the people speaking. They say, when will the month, that is, the month that is known for harvesting, when will it be finished? Because during the time of harvest, the poor people don't need to buy produce from us. According to Jewish law, field owners are required to leave a corner of the field uncut for poor people to take from. This is called peo. They have to leave stalks that fall in small units when the grain is being reaped or collected for the poor to collect. This is called leket. And any sheaves that were left behind when gathering the crops also have to be left for the poor. When will that time be over so that they are forced to come to purchase from us again? V'hashabas, v'niftacha bar, l'haktin eifa u'l'hagdil shekel u'l'aves moizne mirmo. And the Shabbos, and we will open grain, make smaller the eifa, and increase the shekel, and distort the scales of deceit. And the people ask, when will the Shabbos, meaning the Shemitah year, the sabbatical year, when will it be over, so we can open up our stores of produce? Because during the sabbatical year, they have to leave the produce of their fields to the poor. They are waiting to reduce the eifa a measurement, deceiving customers in the amounts they sell, and increase the shekel payment required, and fix the measuring scales so that they weigh to their advantage in selling. Verse 6. Liknois ba'kesef dalim ve'evyoin ba'avurna alayim u'mapal bar nashbir. To buy poor people with silver, and the destitute for shoes, and the refuse of grain we will sell. Meaning, we will cause them to be so poor that they are left with nothing, so we can purchase them with silver as servants. We won't sell them clean produce. Rather, we will mix the waste in with it and sell that to them. Verse 7. Nishba Hashem b'g'ayin Yaakov, im eshkach lon netzach kol ma'aseyem. Hashem swore by the pride of Yaakov, I will never forget all their deeds. The next two verses convey abhorrence at such a lack of integrity and state that punishment will surely arrive. The people are asked if the land should not quake because of all this and all the inhabitants be destroyed. And Hashem threatens that he will make the sun set at midday and darken the land on a day of light. The Malbim explains that this is a depiction of the earth itself not being able to tolerate such corruption, because civilization is being rocked at its core, its natural order is in chaos, and so nature itself will respond with disruption also. Darkness caused by the sun setting is allegorical for Hashem removing himself from them, darkening their success that pours from above. Darkening of the land refers to the difficulty they will have on the land below. Their plans will be thwarted. Society cannot function without honesty. We're expected to be honest in business, even down to the finest details. Portraying what we can offer as something that it's not, in the hope of material gain, not only lacks compassion for others, but also prevents us from refining our inner character. And furthermore, it reflects a lack of faith in God to provide what He wants to give us. Because He is the one who assigns success and wealth in both physical and spiritual endeavour. After Amos then describes punishment, turning festivals into days of mourning, and bringing grief that, as Rashi interprets, is as intense as the mourning of a father for his only son, the prophet then turns to conveying a dual message of both sorrow and hope. As he says in verse 11, Hine yomim bo'im na'um Hashem Elokim v'hishlachti ro'ov ba'aretz, Loi ra'av lalechem v'loi tzoma lamayim ki im lishmoya es divrei Hashem. Behold, days are coming, says Hashem Elohim. I will send a famine in the land, not a famine for bread, and not a thirst for water, but to hear the words of Hashem. Radak reads, You rejected the prophets, and so the time will come when you will be left longing for the words of Hashem via prophecy, but you will not find them. Prophecy will cease. And even the beautiful young women and men who are ordinarily focused on materialism will thirst for the word of Hashem. They will despair over the long period of time in which they desire it but cannot find it. As we see in verse 13, By Yom Hahu, Tisalafna habasulois hayafois vahabachorim batzama. On that day, the beautiful virgins and young men will faint from thirst. Simultaneously, though, as alluded to by the Alshich, there is a message of consolation. One day, you will remember what really matters. You will yearn for spiritual connection and fulfillment. You will long to hear the words of Hashem and feel His presence. You will want to abandon your evil ways and return to your true self and return to God. The chapter ends also with a twofold message. As Matsudas David explains, the people of the northern kingdom who worship idols are being told in verse 14 that V'noflu v'loy yakumu oid, they will fall and not rise again. They will not return in the time of the second temple, but in the time of the final redemption, the people of both the northern and southern kingdoms will again rise up. The cord that attaches us to our Maker is so strong, and whilst we remain in exile, we know that the anticipated redemption will bring us back to a world of truth, clarity, and spiritual fulfillment. May it be soon. Thank you for studying together. Le'elui Nishmas, Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.